I'm Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone. Lowe's knows Sundays are for football. That's why we're here to help you get your next DIY project done, even when the clock isn't on your side. Whether that's a new Filtrete filter or Bosch and Kobalt power tools, Lowe's has everything you need to feel like the MVP of DIY. So get it done and earn your Sunday. Shop now, in-store, and online. Lowe's, official partner of the NFL.
Surprise, folks. Got a little extra one in. No one knew it was coming. Not even basically you guys. Welcome. We decided that if we're recording this today, my special is out right now. And so this is going to come out tomorrow, 19th. And we just wanted to do one, you know, just a thank you to everybody that's, I mean, people have already watched the special. Came out, you know, it comes out at 3 a.m. Eastern, and I already got people that watched it, and which is nice. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, like, sometimes people, it's like, well, if you're in Pacific time, it's midnight. Mm-hmm. So that's not that hard to, I was up to like 1:30 last night.
Yeah.
And so I usually, you know, it's 2 here. The last time I saw it, this time I was like, I was pretty beat. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm just going, it's going to come on, you know?
You were so close.
I was so close. I know. And I just had stuff today, so I had to do a bunch of stuff. So I had to get up, I mean, early, like, nah, I had to wake up at like 9:15. Come on, dude. That's insane.
Crack of dawn.
Crack of dawn, 9:15. So I knew that was coming. I woke up the day before, 7:30. I had to do morning radio yesterday.
That's what you're calling Rogan now?
Yeah.
It's morning radio.
Yeah, Rogan's morning radio.
Drive time.
So, after Rogan, after we did Rogan that morning, I had to do, so you have to do radio tours. And, so it's where a guy calls your phone and then you just sit and go to different stations. So I'm just on the phone and he's like, all right, we're going to go first. It's a rock station in Indianapolis, you know, where, and tells me who they are. And then you go to it and you're just on the air.
You're live.
You're live. Sometimes they're pre-taping them and sometimes they're live. And then, so you just click and you're on. And they're like, what's we're sitting here with Nate Bargatze? He's got the greatest average American special. And then you just start talking to him, whatever. And then you just, he's like, all right. And then when that one's done, he's like, all right, now we're going to Cincinnati. This is the country station. So, you know, and then you're just on. And so you just do that for 3 hours.
Wow.
And I mean, there's times where you go, what city is this? Like, who? You're just kind of rapid, kind of firing. And if they go long, they're timed so, the timing of it is like so scheduled that, I mean, some of them, I would be mid sentence and he's like, I'm like talking. I'm still like, yeah, you know, the special is exciting. The guy's like, all right, we left that one. We're in the next radio station. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm just, then it's like, yeah, I'm excited about the special. He's just in another, talking at another place. And it was very funny to how quick it went. So we wanted to do, just kind of a, since it's the special's out, kind of a special episode. Also the Nate Land Live podcast taping. I don't know if you know, it is sold out.
It is?
It is sold out.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Pretty crazy. Already sold out. Something that I know that you guys do not know though, is we are adding a second show.
Oh, all right.
So
I didn't know we were sold out. So
yeah.
Wow.
Second show is added.
Wow.
And it is on sale. And so at Zany's April 15th, we'll be doing 2 live Nate Land podcast tapings. We're still figuring that show out. But I think it's good. I think it'll be good. I think it's going to be comment heavy. I think it's going to be kind of, you know, I'm hoping to get some live comments and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and do something more for all the folks out there listening. So the special. So yes, I promoted it. Has been pretty wild. I went to Austin. I did Rogan, which was the first time. I've told the story about meeting Rogan here. So that was my only really experience with him. Maybe a couple times here and there I've been around, you know, because I'm friends with all his friends. But dude, he's the best, just the best. I mean, a super like humble guy, you know, signed a giant Spotify deal, but just a real guy.
Yeah.
A comic, loves comedy, loves being a comedian. And that's, which is my favorite, is because, you know, it's like guys that are true to like, no, dude, we're just, we all just look at ourselves as like, we're just road comics. Some people get to get up to the top, some don't. It's like, but that's, we're all the same. We're all just bouncing around doing comedy on the road. And the show was awesome. It's such a giant show. And it was very cool. Then afterwards, we went to him and Chappelle did a show at Stubbs Barbecue. They do a show there. And I got to go to that and hang out.
Oh, nice.
And watch it. So got to see Chappelle. And it was, and Michelle Wolf was there. So I'm friends with Michelle. And so we just hung out back there and hung out all night. And they hung out till, I mean, till like one. That's when I slept, got no sleep. And then woke up the next morning to that radio thing. I woke up, weirdly, I woke up at 4:45 that morning. And I was so confused. Like, I was thinking I had to be up at 7:45 Eastern. And I was thinking I was in Pacific time. And I was like, I guess I got to get up now because I got to do the radio. And I mean, I'm just like looking at the clock. I'm just confused. And then man, when I found out I have 3 more hours of sleep, that was not much better than that.
Yeah. It's almost worth it to just set it artificially early so that you can go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Feels that good.
And no, and not like just, 10 more minutes. I mean,
three more hours.
You're like, yeah. That was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole Rogan experience. I mean, it's funny. I've got a lot of texts about it. Like, what's Rogan like? You know, it's like, because I'm like everybody else. You don't know. I don't really know the guy that well. But I mean, he's just a great dude, man. Like, he was, you know, not that I would tell you if he wasn't, but I wouldn't be saying that I would just be like, had a great time.
Yeah.
He's that good of a guy. And Giannis told me, which we had Giannis here. Giannis said that. He's like, dude, he's like just a sweetheart dude. That's just what he is, you know? And he's roots for comics. And that's what I love. Someone to get that high up and to help out comics is a big deal.
Is there an interview show in the world bigger than Rogan, which you're going to get more listeners?
Not that I can think of, man.
Not that I mean, Conan, if you do Conan's thing, I think it's pretty big.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything like Rogan. Yeah. I think it's just so different.
Yeah.
And it's, if he's in the Smithsonian, like, couldn't he be in that? Don't they do TV stuff in there? Like, they have like the Cosby chair,
they have the Seinfeld puffy shirt.
Yeah, Seinfeld puffy shirt. Yeah. Cosby chair might not be there anymore, but.
Was the Cosby chair?
Not chair, Cosby sweater or something, or whatever it was. Was it the chair?
I don't remember there being like an iconic chair.
Archie Bunker.
Archie Bunker.
Yeah. Okay. His lazy boy that he was in.
Yeah. I feel like Cosby had his sweater in there.
He always wears a crazy sweater.
Yeah, Archie Bunker had a chair.
Yeah. The Cosby one, they all just. I just picture them hauling that back out right after. And they're like, I have to, two doors have to spring open. And you're, you know, and part of the Titanic's right there. And you're like squeezing by it because you got to move. You got to haul it out of there. I don't know if they hauled, if they got a sweater out. Yeah. They probably did. Can't do stuff. They get rid of it. Gone. I don't know. I mean, Rogan's got to be, I mean, it's the top, man. I mean, it's, you know.
People made the comparison all the time of it being like the Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. It's like the closest thing we have now. So it's like a really cool thing.
I mean, he's made people.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the sign of if you're making careers and he has done that, which is insane, you know, to be that big of a thing. So the special. So, I mean, this episode, we're, you know, it's not going to be the longest one. We just kind of wanted to get on and. I wanted to thank everybody for watching and all that stuff. I wanted to talk about specials or any of, you know, the world around that. You know, you get asked a lot of stuff about it. I get asked a lot about can they watch it versus to come see me? Is it going to be different? And I know we've addressed that a bunch, but again, do whatever you want. I mean, I'm hoping by the time the theater tour starts, I'll be an hour new. I think I got 25, 30 minutes new now. If you come see me at one of the comedy clubs coming up, I think I'll have half new and then half probably not new. But you never know. Maybe I get on a nice 20-minute chunk. That's what you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
Just a nice run like that. What do we have on specials?
Well, you guys remember the first comedy special that you ever saw?
Yeah. So I remember mine is Sinbad, Afros and Bell Bottoms.
Oh, wow.
And so I remember that.
Is that the one outside?
I don't know if I remember that well.
Okay.
It was, I remember, he wore, I want to say purple pants or something, or a purple jumpsuit.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. And I remember watching it because he was a clean comedian. So yeah. We were allowed to watch him. And I just remember ordering McDonald's, like someone sitting at the McDonald's menu, not knowing what to, how to order at McDonald's. And he was just like, you know, like it's insane not to know what it is.
Okay. That's not the one I'm thinking about. There was one he shot maybe in Jamaica or something outside.
I don't know. When was Afro? Yes, this is
that's Afro. The outfit. Just yeah.
This is Afro.
What a power move that is to wear that.
Yeah.
It fits him. It's kind of perfect. It's it looks good. Yeah. For that crazy of an outfit too, it does look good. I still think it looks good right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes you look at these outfits and they don't stand the test of time.
Some don't hold up at all.
And that one you're kind of like, I don't know, dude, I'm kind of on board with
it. I would love to see you do your next special in something like that, man.
I would love to, if I could wear a jumpsuit, I would do it. I mean, just, it's a one piece, I'd imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what a jumpsuit is? Just to have a one, just, and just be like, this is what I'm wearing.
I think that's a two piece there.
No, yeah. I think he's just got a belt around the middle.
It's one piece and he still has a belt?
He just put a belt over a jumpsuit.
I think it's like what Santa Claus sleeps in, is what I think it is. And they're, and then he puts a belt around it. I mean, I think girls do that. Right, they have jumpsuits.
But Santa Claus has.
I don't know.
It's a two piece.
You don't want a two. You can't have a two piece, dude. Like he's. I don't know.
Did you have any wardrobe issues this one?
I did not have wardrobe issues. My hair's got a kind of a weird thing. I don't know if you might even notice it.
Yeah.
But it's when they fixed my hair, I just had the front of it kind of like had a space in between it. So if there's any side shots where it's the right of me,
mm-hmm.
You'll be able to see like a little, just it's a little space
yeah.
that shouldn't be there. Normally I would have gone back a little bit more. That's the only thing that on this one is that was kind of the issue. I had to, so the hoodie that I'm wearing in it, I had to buy that morning. I went, cause I had a shirt, just a t-shirt I was going to wear with that, with my jacket. And I mean, when we went and looked at it the night before, it was like 56 degrees. Mm. And I was like, I think I'm going to be too cold. Like, I don't want to be cold.
Yeah.
As you do this, just shivering. You know, like some of those driving dates were just like, where you were shivering.
Yeah.
And it was freezing. And so, and 56 degrees is not the coldest, but standing for an hour, you just don't want to be tense. You don't want to be, you know, I needed to try to be as relaxed as possible. And I went that morning and bought that hoodie. So that was the quickest I've ever bought something that.
Yeah.
I
well,
wore.
That's a wardrobe issue. Yeah.
That is. Yeah. I guess that, yeah, that's a wardrobe. Mm-hmm. But there was no, yeah, nothing like there's a hole in something. But it was, yeah, that was a little.
You remembered your shoes and all that.
I remembered my shoes. Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Tennessee yeah. kid.
Tennessee kid. Shoes got put in a cab. It cost more for the shoes to get there than it did me. This one, I had all the shoes. Yeah, I mean, I make sure now. I make sure, like, shoes, everything is kind of there.
So now that you've watched it, I've watched it. I don't know, Aaron.
Yeah, I watched it this morning.
Yeah. I mean, you feel good? Like, I thought the final, I thought it looked great.
I thought it was awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah I haven't watched it, like, on Netflix yet, but I've watched it before when we were editing it and put it together. But it's, I do feel great. I do feel good. I mean, the people that have watched it, you know, you're always very nice that you have a lot of people that will watch it right when it comes out. And they were all very nice and they loved it. And, you know, I mean, that's all you want. You just want, you hope people just really laugh and have fun. And that it is what it is. I don't, you know, it's hard. It's exciting when it comes out. It's crazy that it's here, especially just with what we've had leading up to it to go from, I didn't, you know, a year ago. I mean, it's crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
1 year ago, just to be doing theaters, this mm-hmm. podcast does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing theaters and I'm going to tape a special. Everything's going to be normal to then now what all, you know, this podcast, we did a bunch of drive-in dates. we did shoot a special, and the special was the only thing that was really planned that actually still came out.
Yeah, you refined it obviously and added some stuff, but the bulk of it you had before the pandemic hit. You were ready.
I would have liked some, you know, a good run up to it,
yeah,
just to like make sure everything, just to tighten everything up a little bit. So that was good, at least to be doing those driving dates. But I mean, it was definitely the weirdest it's ever been leading up to a special. I mean, just to have to do stuff outside and not be able to really hear crowds. I mean, it was, you know, 3 months of really not been hearing the crowd outside of like doing some zany shows. You just, you know, and that's almost the way you can trust it, because you would do the zany shows and they'd be half capacity, but you're at least here. I can hear the laughs, and then you got to take that to the special taping and to when we did those driving shows, to when you're telling these jokes, just to trust like, yeah, these, I think they're doing good. Mm-hmm. They've done good other places. So as long as I deliver them the right way, they're do good now, you know.
And it'll be very memorable from years to come, because it was outside, people were wearing masks, the helicopter flying over.
Yeah, I don't want it to be where it's like no one watches it ever again, because it's like feels too timely.
Yeah.
But we did capture that. They had masks on. We were trying. I was like saying, he was saying we didn't want it to be, Troy Miller is the director. He was like, we don't want it to be like too masky, like showing too many masks or too, too much like COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is a COVID special.
Yeah.
But the helicopters also captured that. I'll be interested to see what people think of the helicopters. Is the thing that I want to see what people think about, just because it was like, if you haven't watched it yet, and I mean, but it's like that was not planned at all. There's not even like a thought about that being a worry.
Yeah.
Until it happened. And then it happened a bunch.
Yeah.
And for people that have either watched it or they're about to watch it, and not giving anything away, but we did find out the reason there's so many helicopters, there was a police chase near the Universal Studios where we filmed it. And so there was a police chase going on, and that ended up being why there was so many kind of flying over throughout the show. Because I think there was even a little bit more than we put in. But we put in just, I think, like 4 times or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your first special? Do you remember?
Yes. Sweat the Small Stuff by Kevin James. I remember my brother bootlegged it, and I had that special memorized word for word. I used to perform it for people on field trips and stuff. And I still watch it every now and then. I think it holds up. I think that's like an all-time great special.
Yeah. I agree.
So funny.
Yeah.
That was my first one, man.
Yeah.
I agree that I remember watching that one, and I remember when he talked about riding the Sea-Doo and the Wave Runner and getting stuck behind it. Yeah. And then when I saw that joke the week before, I had that same problem with a Wave Runner.
Oh, yeah.
And so, man, it hit me hard. Like, I laughed so hard. Just because it was such, it just happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I went with my buddy, John Paul, like, and it just happened with that. I just had trouble with this, and he just described it perfectly.
He has a whole bit about water skiing, and he can't water ski, and he's got the anxiety of, like, his friends on the boat being like, yeah, who brought this guy?
Yeah.
And, you know, I told y'all I just started taking golf lessons, and I told the instructor, I was like, I want to get to a point where if I could potentially tag along and not have the rest of the people going, God, dude, brought this?
That was my goal too.
Yeah.
Still
just,
is.
Yeah. Just to not be a liability.
Yeah.
So I think about that particular bit all the time.
You don't want, he's going to take his own cart. That's what you do. That's what we throw. We just throw Brian in his own cart.
I mean, my goal in golf is to no one to notice me.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to be that good where they'll notice me. I just don't want to be so bad.
That's not a bad goal just in life in general, I think.
Well, I'm doing great in comedy. Yeah. Just, I'm killing it.
Yeah. I too good at it. I like the idea of like, I live my life like that. I know in comedy, we're not doing that, but I go in every business I go into it. You're just trying not to be a bother, you want to be just the most normal experience that they've ever had.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, they go, yeah, they were very nice. Oh yeah. And they don't really remember you, and you just get in and get out.
That's the best. Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
Yeah.
What was your first special? Andy Griffith?
I was going to ask you if you wanted to guess, and I knew you would say something like that, but you beat me to it. So you want to guess again?
Andy, I don't know if people know. Do people know Andy Griffith was a comedian? There could be a lot. Did Most you know people, that?
Somebody just told me that recently. I knew that he kind of, but he was like a serious comic for a while, right?
Yeah.
I only know him from the show and from music.
He had a joke about watching football for the first time. And I mean, might have been like literally going to watch football. It's like from the 40s or something. Like,
there's this new thing. It's called football.
And he, it actually might have been like he went to a game and just having it explained to him. And I've listened to some of his stand up. They played on, and they'd play on like Sirius. And you'd be able to listen to some of his stand up.
Yeah.
I would say your first special, when, I mean, would it have been Eddie Murphy Raw? I mean, you wouldn't have been. Is that what it is?
Oh, wow.
It was, which I know doesn't quite fit my comedy. Yeah. But my parents wouldn't let me watch. You know, we didn't have cable.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to whatever. So when I was in high school, Eddie Murphy Raw came out when I was in high school, and my friends rented it at the video store, and we watched it.
Yeah.
So that's my first
did you not think, like, I shouldn't be watching this?
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah. But I mean, by then I'm in high school, so I think it's really cool that I.
That's all part of the thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Eddie Murphy Raw, which I read, it's the top grossing stand-up comedy special of all time.
Yeah. Was it in theaters?
Yeah.
I think it was released like a movie. Yeah.
It was.
I wish they would do that. Kevin Hart had his do that. I like that idea.
It's mostly, I looked at the top 10, the top 8 are black comics. Black comics do it, Stum. The Kings of Comedy did it.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart's done it. Martin Lawrence has had a couple that have done really well.
Kings of Comedy, what's so good about that special is all of it, but Bernie Mac was a killer.
I've got him pulled up. I think Bernie Mac's Def Jam outfit is maybe the best. the best outfit of all time for stand-up.
And it works.
He pulls it off.
Dude. Oh, yeah.
He pulls it off.
I don't think I could pull off my face airbrushed on my jeans like that. But
that's his
it.
Famous set on Def Jam.
Right. It's not a special, but it's a clip.
I ain't scared of you.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a little dirty if that's your thing. If it bothers you or doesn't bother you. But it's a very famous, like, as comedians know, you know, it's like that dude, that's like describes comedy. Like, that's like him doing that is representing every comedian to every audience. And not the great audience, but like rough audiences where it's him up there. I ain't scared of you. Like, you know, just keep saying that. Because isn't it supposedly everybody was bombing?
The story was that everyone was bombing on that show. And then he came out and just straight up told them, I'm not scared of you guys.
Yeah.
And murdered.
Yeah.
I had a similar line. In that.
Oh, dude, that's so great. Yeah, the clip has like a million views on YouTube now.
Yeah.
That clip of...
there's a clip... I posted this. I don't know. Like I found it. But yeah. black audience surprise when white boy takes the stage.
Yeah.
And I come out all this black. They just die laughing when I come out. Because I come out to like Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Yeah.
Like, first thing I say is, I'm the opposite of Bernie Mac.
Yeah. And they got it.
Yeah. They knew exactly what I meant.
He was, when he did that, that was such a big, that's such a big deal and such a big, thing to like, I mean, yeah, just not be, I ain't scared of you. Like, just the control that you had, like, over an audience, like, that's what it is. Like, the confidence and the control. Cause he's not, I mean, he's been killing forever at that point, but no one really knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in clubs and everybody that knows him knows this dude's a killer. And then he does that. And then his Kings of Comedy. I mean, he goes on at the end of that. Yeah. I mean, that one's unreal. And someone else was like, Cedric? Cedric was when he backs the car up and stuff like that. I mean, that's such a show. Steve Harvey's got great. I mean, everybody's great in that one. And then
DL?
DL. Steve Harvey, when he calls out that guy in the front. I mean, it's unbelievable, dude. It's in an arena.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I love, like, how. That's such a big audience in that special. And like for them to capture that is.
It shouldn't work in the room that big, you know?
It shouldn't. And it just does.
Mm-hmm.
That energy is just too.
They're just that big of acts.
Yeah. Yeah. Their energy is so big and it just works in that arena that they were in. Yeah.
Well, who were the two, the other two in that top 10? probably Blue Collar Comedy Tour, right? That was probably one of the highest grossing.
No,
Steve Martin,
Fluffy,
Jeff Dunham.
Oh, Fluffy.
Fluffy was one.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the number nine was like some weird thing. I never Bette Midler, and there was some type of kind of weird variety movie.
Variety
that
show.
Yeah, yeah. Thing. I mean, there's not a ton that are ever released in theaters, so the top. Well, I want to finish about Eddie Murphy's Raw is the top grossing movie all time, stand up movie, $50.5 million.
Is Richard Pryor in there?
I was about to get to that.
Okay.
It set the record for the use of the F word 223 times.
Wow.
Until Sticks and Stones broke it. What's the name of your? I believe that. Shirts and Skins. Yeah, I believe the joke. Because like
Sticks
he's not,
and Stones would have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I believe that joke.
223 times in an hour.
Sticks and Stones is a special.
I think we just said it.
Sticks and Stones is Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. My bad. Yeah. I believe that joke. Richard Pryor, you asked about. So I looked at a couple of the rankings of like top comedy specials of all time. And there's a ton of them out there. I looked up Rolling Stones and Vulture. And they each had Richard Pryor's top comedy special of all time, but two different specials.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Rolling Stone had Richard Pryor live in concert, is number one. And then Vulture had Richard Pryor live on the Sunset Strip.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which I think that one he bombed on.
He did originally. Yeah.
Originally bombed.
I think of that documentary. Yep.
Yeah. Live in the Sunset.
That's the one where pretty he came wild. Back after he'd been burned.
Yeah.
First time in a couple of years.
And I think, yeah, like bombed and they did it again.
I think so.
And then it was like.
I think they shot it over two nights.
Yeah. And the first show was bad. And then the second show they did again and he like, and it became what it became. I mean, the other famous bombing one, if someone bombed, was Mitch Hedberg. Mitch Hedberg is like Comedy Central Presents.
Yeah.
Where he sits down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of become famous, but that it's him not doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was not good. And then he sat down. It was almost like it came together. And it's crazy just to be in that moment. And, you know, you got that feeling of probably something not going good. And then it becomes this legendary special.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
The Richard Pryor, the first one live in color. That's the first one released in a movie theater. First full length stand up set. Released in a movie theater.
That's, is there, what is, do you have the first stand up special? Or yeah. What's the first stand? I don't even know what would be the first. I mean, George Carlin or Bill Cosby.
Mark Twain. Did you record any of his?
No.
No.
Nate's a little bit closer than you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lenny Bruce?
They probably did albums, but as far as
a video, yeah.
It was Richard Klein, 1975, HBO.
Wow.
Not Robert Klein?
I'm sorry. I'm Robert Klein. I'm bombing here.
Yeah.
Robert Klein.
Robert Klein. I was about to say, Richard Klein. Yeah. Like, there's another.
Yeah, Robert Pryor did that.
Robert Klein did it. It was the first ever hour-long special. And he said it was the first time he got to present an act and not have to be in a hurry.
I mean, can you imagine being he's alive, dude.
Yep.
Like, so the first, that's how young stand-up comedy is, kind of what it is now, is that Robert Klein is alive. I mean, he's probably 70 or something.
At least. I mean, that's. Less than 50 years ago.
The first, can you imagine being the first special? Like you telling someone I'm taping.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're saying to be.
He's 79 now. Yeah, to just go, I'm going to film.
And
they're going to put it on TV. And they're like, what?
What? What was it on?
HBO. Yeah.
So HBO started it all.
HBO's been the king until Netflix.
Yeah.
You remember when you were first considering doing the special and where to put the platform, and you're like, what do you think? We're looking at either Netflix or Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to do Comedy Central, man.
Yeah.
You got to do Comedy Central. This wasn't that long ago. This was like just a couple years ago.
Yeah. That's the day I stopped listening to breakfast. I stopped eating breakfast that morning and never looked back. You got to do Comedy Central, dude.
Now nobody even knows Comedy Central exists.
Well, Comedy Central was such a... such a big deal for me. And so, and there's people at Netflix that, what I love about Netflix and what I love is the people that have done this, everything I've done, is you work with these people over this long period of time. And, Grigioni, is over there. She was a producer. She works with Netflix and, she's been with me. I've done, she's not with me. She's just been, I've just she's worked at Comedy Central, then Netflix. But it's since my first appearance live at the Live at Gotham. And so she's done all of them, to the Presents, to the Comedy Central special, the Hour special, and then now she's at Netflix. And I mean, it's pretty wild, dude. Like, that you're just with these, you know, she's been in every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's it's such a crazy, it's a Joanne Grigioni, pretty wild. And then Robbie Prawl, who's also at Netflix, he was at Montreal just for Last Festival. And so, like, you end up working with these people. And he did New Faces. I did New Faces with him. That was 2008. And now it's 2021. And we just did a second Netflix special. Mm. Wow. And he's the reason he asked me to do the stand-ups. He came to me. He went to Netflix. And he goes, hey, we want to do the stand-ups. We want to do, like, a half-hour thing. And I was like, I don't know, man. I just did an hour Comedy Central special. And Netflix is... You know, I think Segura's on there. I know Netflix is big. It's big. It's not. It's about to be Netflix. But it's like, and he's like, we're doing a thing where I want to get like six comics. We're gonna do like a half hour, and I want you to do it. And I was like, I don't know, dude. I just did an hour. Like, I don't want to go back to a half hour. Like, it takes forever to get to be able to do an hour on TV. And now I got to go back to a half hour. And he was like, I think it would be good. And I remember just talking to her and talking, you know, me and Brian went and had dinner. I broke it down to him and gave me the worst advice. But I remember talking about managers or something, and agents at the time, or I don't know if I had agents at the time, but my managers and talking to them and just like being like, then realizing like, look, I think it's better to do it because I think Netflix is going to be just to get in that family. And you want to be in that Netflix family. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I should do it. And then, I mean, the rest is, it's we're here where we're at. Michelle Wolf was supposed to do it too. And she did her own HBO special, which I think she's going back. She did another Netflix special, right?
I think so, yeah.
And then, but I remember Michelle going to do the, and I was like, I don't think, she, I was like, I feel like she should do this half hour. Because I was doing it. And I was like, I think, in the half hour, I think she would have destroyed it and done great, whatever. But her HBO special was so great. Mm-hmm. And she obviously made the right decision to do what she did. And then she went back to Netflix after that. Soder has an HBO special. I mean, it seems like HBO, Netflix are the two top.
Yeah.
Netflix is the, I just don't think anybody's touching Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. Netflix has made it where people know stand up. We're not having to do TV shows. I mean, look, I want to make a TV show. I'm still going to try to make a TV show, but it's nice to be like, I don't know if it doesn't happen. You just keep putting your specials out. It just, I mean, hopefully Netflix keeps letting you, but if they do, you just keep writing new hours and putting specials out. That's what's, you know, you get to be a comedian. We get to be a stand-up comedian, where the older guys had to do Seinfeld, Ray Romano, Kevin James, all those guys had to do TV shows. George Carlin, I mean, he was known as a stand-up his whole time, but he had to do a bunch of movies too, a lot of stuff like that. You know, I mean, I don't know. Netflix is obviously, I'm there. I'm on it. It's on right now. But they're just so gigantic.
Yeah. Well, that's what everybody says. They go, it's like, to me, when are we going to see you on Netflix? It's like the comment. Nobody's like, when are we going to see your Comedy Central
VH1
hour? Yeah, exactly.
No. When are we going to see your VH1 hour?
Yeah. When are you going to be on TNT? Let me know. Yeah.
Dry Bar is where it's at, guys.
Dry Bar is great.
It's the future of stand-up.
Yeah. If anybody wants to check out Brian Bates as a Dry Bar,
yep,
it's special. Dry Bar is great. Dry Bar's got huge clips.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people see it. I mean, now people are doing internet stuff. They're doing YouTube. They're doing, you know, we had Mark Norman, Sam Morril, Joe List. A lot of people are putting out stuff on YouTube.
I looked up their numbers last night, all in the millions for their specials.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to get in. Like, Netflix is tough. It's tough to get in there. They have a lot of comics. They got you kind of build your audience in Netflix. And so you kind of stay in and you hopefully do it and keep doing more. Not that they don't add new people, but it is tough. I mean, it's tough to get stuff. And a lot of it's just timing, man. It's like, when do you get in? I was lucky enough to be farther along in comedy to even get a chance to do that half hour that then led to all this where it's like, I've got to do more from there. And the Netflix thing did really good. I mean, it's everybody watching is the reason I got to keep doing more, you know?
Well, that weekend that the stand-ups came out, we were in Tacoma and immediately you saw a difference in
that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first weekend where you're, I was like, oh, have y'all heard these jokes?
Yeah.
And they said, yes. Oh, and it was the first time, you know, because now you kind of know everybody's asking, should I watch a special?
Yeah.
People come and they know. But yeah, it's a crazy time in your career. Because that's all you ever want, man, when you're a comic. Is like, you want people to be like, you want them to know who you are. Mm-hmm. And they're there to see you. And I remember, you know, you saw comics, you saw Burr, Louis C.K., or, you know, any of these big comics. I mean, Chris Rock would go on stage with his notebook and, you know, stuff. And they were having to do their new stuff because people were coming to, like, they got to have a new act. And so they would always say, well, once I'm done with the special, then I retire that act. And, you know, it's always funny, too, because you always say, younger comics say that, where you're like, don't worry about it, dude. Like, you know, you put an album out, you're like, keep doing that stuff. I mean, yelled out by a clown. I did some of that stuff on Comedy Central. Because you can. Your fans that find you at that point, like on your CD, they know, they're growing with you, dude. They get in so early as being a fan of you that they realize, like, you're like, yeah, I got to go. Like, if you had to go, if Comedy Central or Netflix said, do a special tomorrow, you're going to go do your album.
Right.
What you just did on your album, you're going to go put on that special.
Yeah.
And everybody that watched that album, those people are comedy fans. Like, they love stand-up comedy. And they're searching out stand-up comedy the way people search out music. And so that, I feel like those fans know, like, because you see it where people, they're commenting, like, yeah, dude, he got a bigger thing.
Right.
He's got to, that's what they know what comics do. Like, this is how it works. I always get it with YouTube comments because people are like, feel like it's the same act on all these YouTube clips. Like, yeah, dude, because when I was coming up, YouTube was new. Mm-hmm. So you were putting everything on YouTube because you just were, you would hear about the word viral and you're like just trying to make something go viral. And so, like, I mean, you have the same jokes just on different comedy clubs. And so then now people are like, why are you all the clips the same? You're like, dude, that was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I don't even own, I don't have control over those clips. Mm-hmm. They're all posted by someone else and they're not like on my YouTube page. Most of my YouTube old stand-up clips are posted from somewhere else. Like, I would have to ask that person to take them down. And then it's like, you can't just get it taken down. Mm-hmm. You have to be a lot more careful now. Like, now I'm realizing you have to be so much more careful to your material. You just get way more protective over it.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, we're not filming, right? It's not going to go out anywhere because you don't want it to go out because, man, you get that's the hard part now even about doing a Tonight Show. It's like, you know, it's 5 minutes. And then it's usually a really good fight. You pick a good 5 minutes. And then, so, you know, my Tonight Show, those jokes are on the Netflix special. And so then people see it and you just want to be like, I want like the next special, like, I don't want any of that stuff to be like, it's not on anything.
Yeah.
And so then when people watch it, it is 0 to 60 minutes no one's ever seen, unless you went to a live show. Nobody has seen any of this material.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want for my next one. I don't know if it'll happen. Tonight Show asked me to do it again. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. Like, you know, I would love to do Tonight Show again. But
yeah. When you put out Full Time Magic, did you still keep doing those jokes in the clubs?
I remember I was at in Raleigh, North Carolina, Charlie Goodnight's, great comedy club, kind of a famous comedy club. Comedians love. I think Helium owns it now. And they, I remember being there, and I was asking that weekend because that's the special that aired the same night of the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. And so I asked people in the audience, I was like, hey, did y'all watch this special? And I remember there was like 5 people that said yes. So I could do all those jokes. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one was there to see it. And so it was like, I could do it. I remember wanting to build a new act. I knew I needed to get a new act. I just had an hour special. But I mean, that was the thing that was hard with Comedy Central. They aired the special twice, and then I don't know if they ever aired it again. And then maybe someone they can buy. You could buy it on iTunes right now if you wanted to buy it, but it just sits there. That was Comedy Central. It was, you know, I don't, whatever their system is, I don't know, but it's like, how do you not? They had everybody, dude. Those Comedy Central presents were enormous, and that's where so many people watch that stuff. Dan Cook, Hedberg. you saw all these. Dane Cooks was the one that blew up. Nick Swartzen, Adam Sandler saw Nick Swartzen's half hour and called him, and now Nick Swartzen works with Adam Sandler.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he saw his special and like talked to him and was like, man, I loved it. And then that's how their relationship kind of began.
That's cool.
And so you would see, I remember the Comedy Central Presents, you would see them all, everybody got to pick their backdrop, you know, so you got to really decorate your stage. That was a big deal. I was the first year they didn't do that. Because the whole, when you're coming up, you're going, what would you do for your Comedy Central special? You're like, oh, you're going to put like a barn door behind you? Or, you know, you're going to decorate, like Ted Alexandro had a basketball goal and some trash cans, like, and that was his backdrop. And so I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I remember they just go, we're not doing that anymore. I go, okay. They just put our names behind it, which honestly was better, just to have your name sitting behind you. That was right. Because you're not in control of editing those specials, like at the half hour on Comedy Central. So right when you get done, I did it with me and Chelsea Peretti taped the same night together. And right when we got done, you walk over. And a guy's sitting there, and he goes, all right, we got to edit some of this.
Yeah.
So he's like, rank your jokes, like, from 1 to, you know, whatever, to 50, just to see. Or one, he'd be like, do your 1 to 10 ranking of jokes that you don't want taken out. And, I mean, he asks you right when you walk off.
Wow.
And I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. I wasn't, like, prepared that I'm going to get asked that. And so then you have to go over there, and he's like, rank your jokes, and you're like, phew. All right, I mean, I like the wife thing. There's the car thing, you know. And you're just sitting there talking about your jokes. You're like, I don't know. I don't know if I even remember. It's like all just like kind of a blur.
Yeah.
And you kind of end up just being like, just do whatever you just do. Do what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
Like you're like in Breaking Bad when he gets shot in the gun. He goes, "Do what you're gonna do." Right before he gets Hank.
Hank.
Just do what you're gonna do. He's already made his decision 10 seconds ago.
So I looked up the first comedy special, stand-up special on Netflix. You guys want to guess?
First Comedy Central on Netflix?
Yeah.
I mean, Segura was very early. And so, I mean, I would almost say him just because.
It was Bill Burr.
Oh, wow.
You people are all the same. And it 2012.
Wow.
Now, when I look up on Wikipedia, just a list of all the, they have every Netflix special that came out in the year and everything.
Yeah.
They didn't even have that one listed. They had the first one.
Because I think that was on something else and they bought it.
Oh, maybe that's why.
Yeah. So that's where, because that was a big thing too, was you wanted to try to get, like Mulaney has New in Town, I believe was a Comedy Central special, and then Netflix bought it.
So maybe that's the difference.
Because that's what you'd want to do. That's what I want to do with Full Time Magic. I would love if I could ever get it off Comedy Central and have it put on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. Comedy Central and Netflix, I mean, at one point, we're not getting along because they were just doing comedy. And Netflix got such known as a stand-up place that they're just, they're losing all their comics to Netflix.
Yeah.
Well, according to Wikipedia, the first Netflix special was Russell Peters in October of 2013, and then Aziz Ansari did one like a few weeks later, but then none in 2014. I don't know why. And then 2015, just a ton, and then by 2017, just so many.
Yeah, which I think stand-ups was 2017 is when I did that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I believe so. Because 17, 19, 21, I think I've done every 2 years.
Yeah. So I don't know why they took a year off, assuming Wikipedia is right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, they're probably just filling out what works, what happens. I mean, they've become so big now. I mean, and you can see that now, like I've watched The Crew with Kevin James. It's great. He works at NASCAR. It's a great show. But it's like an Everybody Loves Raymond type, King of Queens type kind of sitcom where they're starting to figure that out. And like, that's going to be where Netflix becomes a problem. Like once they start getting where you're like, you're just going to Netflix and you're like, oh, let's watch this. Yeah. You know, sitcom, those funny sitcoms are what I think make networks almost like that. The comedy sitcoms are just really good. They have so many documentaries and all that kind of stuff, but you gotta get the casual, like, look, I'm not trying to be, I don't want to be crying at 7 o'clock at night watching some sad documentary. You're like, I want to eat dinner. I want to watch a fun sitcom. Me and Lars started watching The Crew, and The Crew's great. The cast is great. It's very funny. And that's so I feel like they're and Fluffy, he's mm-hmm. he's got a sitcom on there, and they so they're starting to get into that multicam, you know, where they're starting to make those sitcoms, and I think that's just going to make Netflix even just get crazier and crazier, because you're going to start getting even regular, like, people in the middle of the country that will always think of that are a little later to Netflix. I mean, I was later to Netflix, like, even getting it. I mean, I don't think I had it when I did it.
You used to use my password.
Yeah. When I did the stand-ups, I was using Brian's password for Netflix. Didn't even have it.
Didn't you do like a meeting with executives at Netflix? And
yeah.
You were using my password?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been watching everything.
We just watched...
my email's bbates at channel5.com. Like, it was like something like that. Like, that's my login. They're like, wow, that's a weird email. I was like, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I like my privacy.
Yeah.
We just watched Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
It's not a multicam, but it's very good, you know, fun. And
that was a YouTube show.
Yes. Yeah. The first season was on YouTube Red, mm-hmm. and then it went to Netflix. But there's a scene. Have you seen it? Mm-mm. Where there's a nerdy kid and another kid, and they're trying to work together to move this big rock. And the nerdy kid says, "What we need is a fulcrum."
No, really?
Which I didn't know what it was, except through Aaron. And it's like a stick that lifts the other side,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I still really know.
Was that the cool kid in the class?
No, that was the nerdy kid that said
yeah.
the fulcrum.
Yeah, that's fair.
But there you go.
He immediately got beat up by that fulcrum.
I think he did. I think the other kid, like, used some karate.
Cobra Kai's great. Like, people love it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I loved Karate Kid. Yeah. If I didn't love Karate Kid, I don't know that I would.
Yeah,
Cobra Kai so much, but it was fun.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about how now a lot of people are putting out their specials on YouTube. Sam Morrell, Mark Norman, Joe List all did great. Andrew Schultz put his out last year mm-hmm. For free for people to see. So that's kind of
Ant Schultz just did Netflix, you know, because he was the one that, because he made fun of himself because he said Netflix is over.
Yeah.
And then he's doing a Netflix thing. But that's the, you know, or do they have live shows on Netflix? Like, are that kind of like weekly, you know, like John Oliver's like weekly.
Michelle Wolf's was like that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like one, if they get that too, like that kind of aspect to it. I mean, they're going to end up becoming like, they are like TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just, they're there. Mm-hmm. But like, once they start figuring that kind of stuff out, then you're the television. Netflix is the word
I
for
think
TV.
It already is in a lot of ways, man. It is for me. I don't have cable.
Yeah.
But you look at other stuff.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm mostly living out of Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because that just kind of feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
Like your homepage almost.
Yeah.
I like the shows that, and they're starting to go back to more of this, I think, where they release them once a week.
Yeah. I love the idea of that.
I feel like it's more community. Everybody's in it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to someone who binges it before I even get up that morning.
Yeah.
And they've already ruined the whole season for me.
Yeah. I like that too. I and they've done it. They're doing that with some shows.
Yeah. Like
yeah.
The Mandalorian, I think, is like that. And I was trying to think of some other ones.
It's Disney Plus.
Great British Bake Off. They do it like that.
All right.
Mandalorian is every week.
Yeah. WandaVision was like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so you make it where, you know, water cooler talk, or people don't really get around. What does he say? water fountain anymore.
Water cooler.
Water cooler.
Yeah.
Is that what
you're talking about?
Costanza says when they go, we call it a water cooler show. He's like, oh, that's interesting. He goes, people don't really talk water fountains anymore.
When they were pitching the show to NBC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he said something else.
Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. All right. Something I don't think about too much.
Yeah. I was trying to think of some like unusual stand-up specials that people took a different.
Well, yeah, I know Drew Michaels.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, comedian Drew Michael did a special, no audience. Mm-hmm. It was just him talking. It was a one-man show, and it was on HBO. And it was Gerard Carmichael who worked with me on my pilot. But they like he did that. I mean, it was a very interesting idea. I mean, you got to look at stuff as like trying, like you just try something.
Trying to separate yourself somehow.
Yeah.
You
yeah. And that's about the most way you can get rid of the audience.
Yeah.
I always think sometimes you don't want to get too cute with things. You don't want to get, you know, it's like, do what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, not saying that he should, he can try that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, try it. Look, if it works, you could be the guy that changes everything. But I, you know, it's like just, I like doing stand up in the oldest format of the way that I know it as stand up comedy. And you go up there and you tell your jokes, and then you're like, all right, there you go. And I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of stick with that.
Maria Bamford's done some fun ones.
Yeah.
Even before COVID, yeah. Like in houses and stuff like that.
And it fits with her.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
She did one to her parents. A stand up session.
In their living room, right? Yeah. Where it's just.
But in Maria Bamford, you're kind of buying into that world.
Uh-huh.
So like it's whatever the world is that you're selling.
Uh-huh.
That's what really works is that kind of thing. Like, you know, you're just like, yeah, I dig. Yeah, Maria Bamford's an unbelievable comedian.
Mm-hmm.
To her parents, man, that's so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, the idea is funny, and then I mean, she's a great joke writer. You know,
she's very funny.
Yeah, she's great. So some of the real quick, just some of the other top specials that both of these mentioned. Both of them had Chris Rock bring the pain as the number two.
So I remember they said with him with that special. I believe it was that special. So that was the one that it set him off, right?
Yeah.
So I remember, I think it might have been Louis C.K. telling a story or something, or someone like that. So Chris was on SNL. Chris Rock was on SNL. And then he got done and then went on the road. And so no one really saw him. And I wouldn't say like, I mean, he was on SNL. He's famous, but it's not like he was becoming Chris Rock that he's become. And so Chris leaves New York and just goes on the road. So no one sees him. And so they don't know where he's at. And they're like, well, he's like on the road, dude. He's not working or anything, whatever. And then he comes back to New York and does a show and they go watch it. And it's basically, it's Bring the Pain is what he does. And they were like, you know, Louis's like, I got to be different. Mm. Like, I mean, everybody was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I always think about that. Like, that's what you want to do. When I left New York, I was like, every time I go back, I want the other comics, when they watch, they go, oh, okay. All right, well, we got to go get it together. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what it was with Chris Rock with Bring the Pain. Like, the other comics watched, and he was murdering so hard, and it was so good. And they go, oh, that's where he's been.
Yeah.
And it's unreal.
That's what he's been up to.
And you know, like, you can just tell. At that point, they're watching. They're like, "Well, he's about to leave us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got our little crew together, and he's about to be gone, dude. Like, because this dude, he's going to film this special, and it's flawless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You ever see Eddie Murphy's like raw, like when him working on that material?
No.
Because I always wondered that. There's YouTube clips of him at the comic strip doing like the ice cream bit.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting to see it because you know it from. On, you know, I mean, on stage in the mm-hmm. red suit
mm-hmm.
and to see him doing it on a Tuesday night in at the comic strip. Because Eddie Murphy, you felt like, if you told me he made all that up, I know comics don't make stuff up on the spot. And if you told me he made that whole special up, I would believe it. Because you just never heard about him.
I think that was Delirious.
Delirious.
Yeah.
You never heard about him traveling. You know, I mean, if you're like Chris Rock and Seinfeld, them if you ever hear them talk about it, they would hear him, like they saw him doing spots, but you never, you know, I never heard he was doing spots. I never heard he was like going to a Funny Bone and,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, he was at Zany's doing something. Like, you just never heard that kind of stuff. And so it's pretty neat to see. There's a great comic strip clip, the comedy club in New York called The Comic Strip. If you go on YouTube, they have great clips that are, you can see Ray Romano. Like a lot of comics like that are just popping in and when they're first starting out and they're just doing a show for 50 people.
Yeah, it's cool.
And Delirious, both of them have that as the number five best special of all time. He was 22 when he did that. Think how crazy that is.
Yeah. He's the phenom in my head. I know Chappelle was very, very young, but I mean, he put that special out. That was his first one, right?
Yeah.
22 years old. That's so young. And that is an adult special. Like, that's like, you know, a 20-year vet comes up with that special. It's so crazy.
That still, you see it in people's acts today.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of style from it. So just real fast, some of these. Louis C.K. Shameless. That was his big coming out I mean, he'd been around for a while, but that was one that kind of just set
his,
him apart.
So his big thing when he turned, got big too, was like, I think I've heard him talk about it, where he said, you know, he like had a joke about a dolphin, and he just was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Talking about dolphins. And then he kind of went in with the, like, I hate my kids.
Yeah.
And then just started talking about it and went that route, and that registered with like so many people that, and then he became, he changed. It was like a different comic.
Yeah. Robin Williams, Evening at the Met, Bill Cosby himself. That's the dentist joke that's so famous.
So you, some of that, if you ever watched the pilot of The Cosby Show, he does his act in that. Mm-hmm. And which is funny. The pilot of The Cosby Show, we talked about that before.
It's one of the best episodes.
It's one of the best episodes ever of The Cosby.
Most iconic lines.
Yeah.
In the pilot.
Yeah.
In the pilot.
The first episode. Yeah. I mean, shows change, dude. Seinfeld was called a different, it was the Seinfeld Chronicles, and the parents were different. I mean, they changed Seinfeld so much after the pilot, and for the Cosby Show to be like, the most memorable lines are from the first episode. That's wild.
Crazy. Yeah. Dave Chappelle, Killing Them Softly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then some recent ones that, now this was from 2015. So Tennessee Kid, that's probably would have been on here if it wasn't for that. Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain, that took him from a star to a worldwide superstar, they said. And Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room, which was originally on Comedy Central. It was 42 minutes because of commercials, but then they re-released it on Netflix, and it's 77 minutes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I need to go watch the Netflix one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I have either. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I mean, Patrice would have been fun to be alive right now and see what he did. He was Patrice would have been, I mean, it would have been nuts, dude. Like what he would have just produced and the specials he would have made.
Yeah.
It'd have been unreal.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's basically it.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we weren't doing much, you know, today. Just pop it in.
We're already getting emails from people asking about specific jokes in your act. So maybe in a future episode, we could talk some about some of those.
Yeah. If you want to know anything about what I've talked about in my in this special, The Greatest Average American, ask, email us, hit us up, comment, whatever, you know, do whatever you want to do. And we're collecting. Once we get enough, we're maybe do it. So it might be a month or something. I don't know. However long it takes people to. Once we feel like we got enough questions. But yeah, if you want any questions about any of the stories, any of the jokes that I told in this special, you can see it. You're in the special.
Yeah, in the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple second hit there.
That.
Yeah.
That whole part's hilarious.
Yeah. 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 Nick Novicki.
Yeah. So definitely let us know that. Yeah, that could be fun to talk about that. And then yeah. I mean, look, and we did the voting on Instagram about like the March Madness, the greatest. Everybody that voted in that, thank you for doing that. That was a lot of fun. It's been interesting to see. I mean, some of them got close. Ranch dressing and drive-ins is which is more average American was very close. Mm. Very, very close.
Drive-ins or drive-throughs?
Drive-throughs, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Drive-throughs or ranch dressing, which is drive-throughs is an interesting one to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Ranch dressing is very funny to me though.
Mm-hmm.
As an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for doing all that. Thank you for everything that you've done. Remember, we the second show that we are added is on sale, so by the time this comes out, I don't know if it'll be sold out or not. Yeah. But make sure you get your tickets if you want to come watch the our first live recording. First, maybe last. We will see. Live recording of the Nate Land podcast. Again, thank you. Thank all you folks. We love you. And we will talk to you next week at our normal time. See ya. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Nate Land Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, you know, wherever you listen to your podcast. And please remember to leave us a rating or a comment. Nate Land is produced by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the All Things Comedy Network. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Consulting in partnership with Center Street Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nate Land Podcast.